Yeah, I've started to get nostalgic for the old lockdowns now because we're in Lockie. We're in Lockie 6. And you know what? I thought the storylines were better in the first one. You know, I've got to say, it's like TV series. You know, people always going about the Dexter, the first series was better, Sopranos.
Yeah.
First series was the best. I think the first lockdown was the best in terms of storylines.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we know the government are writing them all. It's a pandemic. We all know that. Everyone knows.
Oh, absolutely.
I read them on Facebook.
Yeah, it's on Facebook. Yeah,
I'll take you back to the first one. Let's go back to the first one. All right.
Yep.
Ruby Princess. What a storyline!
Fantastic storyline.
Visually exciting. You've got a cruise ship pulling into Sydney Harbour.
Yeah.
They let, I think it was 900 infected people off the boat.
Yep.
So it's like a cross between The Walking Dead and the Titanic. As these zombies just walked out into Australia and infected the rest of the world.
Yep.
That is a storyline, is it not? That's a movie.
That's
a movie.
Yeah, that's the start of the movie. That's in the trailer. The trailer would be just the people coming down the plank. Little did they know what tragedy this would cause.
But also the beauty of Sydney Harbour and the boat coming in and kids running around and people having fun. So then fast forward through to lockdown 6 here in Melbourne, the storylines are just, they're no good. All they could come up with, the government, was an orthodox engagement party. Now, that's like an art house movie, you know what I mean, that you see. That's like one of Woody Allen's later movies that no one's seen, you know. It's like, have they run out of ideas or what, these guys? That are, get some...
Yeah, I know. The writing meeting, the whiteboard's empty. They really need to come up with something more. I mean, and you know, you don't want to jump the shark. That's the problem. You've got to make sure that it's a legitimate, you're going to buy it.
And believable.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, I've got to say, I was impressed by the Byron Bay storyline. I thought that wasn't bad in that they obviously went, okay, we've done Sydney Harbour. We've done an engagement party. Where's the most beautiful part of Australia that we can ruin? Byron Bay.
Yeah, perfect. Yes. Yeah.
And who's gonna bring? We need an outsider to bring it in. Is it, you know, Chris Hemsworth? Is it?
Yeah.
Pete Evans. He's too obvious. Yeah. Pete Evans.
Yeah.
I know. I think it was a real estate agent, you know, from Sydney, the ultimate villain. You know, that wasn't a bad storyline. I like that one. And he got arrested. And he's going to court soon. So. I like it.
How far?
And he's probably got a funny accent too, because he's a Yugoslav immigrant who almost got deported because he's got criminal charges. So he's like the guy from Die Hard with a funny accent.
They need to get you in there straight away, just to, you know.
He needs to walk out on the court steps and go, "A COVID is not real." You know, that's what we need.
Because I had a similar idea, which was. Not as good as yours. Not as good as yours. But if all the leaders were to be put into a cricket team, who would make the lineup? Because you've got different leaders doing good and bad things. And I was thinking, like, who would open the batting? Who would open the batting for the COVID cricket team?
Probably Dan Andrews.
I think Dan Andrews would open the bat. Dan Andrews and what's his name? Yeah. Brett Sutton. I reckon they would walk out to the centre. You'd feel confident with them. They're strong. They might get a bit flashy early, but if they could just settle in. I reckon I would open the bowling, though, with what's his name? The other guy. The guy that looks really strong. What's his name?
Jerome.
Yeah. Jerome. He looks like he can bowl, I don't know, he can bowl medium fast. He'd be quick off a short run-up.
Yeah. And what's ScoMo, the wicket keeper? He's a big unit, ScoMo, so he'd be behind.
Yeah, he'd be good in the wicket. If you were getting past him too, he's got a couple go through his legs. He's made a couple of big dives and he's dropped a catch here and there. He's hanging his head, you know.
Where's poor old Gladys then?
Gladys is probably, I don't know, she's probably an all-rounder. She's probably trying to bowl a few overs. She's trying to make a few runs in the middle order, you know. Who else is there? There's the...
You know what I don't look forward to? The press conference afterwards with all those people.
Just didn't go our way.
They all love a press conference. They love a press conference.
As they say, sticky feet. Don't get sticky feet, you know.
I was at Mum's in rehab at the moment, you know, on the pills and the booze, back in rehab. Yeah. No, she fell over, but she's in rehab. And I turn on the TV for her and Dan Andrews doing one of her press conferences. She goes... Oh, no, this goes on forever.
There is a mistake. You can actually put it on, just leave it on, because there's a part of you going, they might say something that I don't already know, that I didn't know three or four days ago. But they might just hang on. They might say something, might hear something. But no, look, trust me, they're doing a good job, and they are taking every question. But, you know, maybe.
But you don't have to take every question, do you?
No, you don't. Yeah.
But you put it in writing, mate. Yeah. I'll get back to you on email.
Yeah,
I don't know the Gladys ones. I haven't really watched the Gladys one. Do they go long or are they short? I hope they're short.
No, she goes on a bit. She goes on a bit. And she's gone from being smacked around a bit to sort of standing, leaning into it a bit more and defending.
Yeah.
So she's going, no. So it's interesting to see how it all unfolds.
I'm no big fan of ScoMo, but I do admire when he just goes, I'm the Prime Minister, just walks off. He just walks out of the press conference.
That's the thing, though.
I reckon I'd do that. Anyway, I got a phone call, guys.
The state leaders are doing all the heavy lifting, and ScoMo's getting out there and going, you know, well, this is what I think. And then I go, well, you know, you're not on the front line, ScoMo. You know, as much as you mean well, you know. And he's a religious man too, isn't he?
He's a Christian.
That stands by him. But there was something that happened in Sydney where they all turned up to church. As I always say, you know, whenever I drop into a church during the middle of the day, just to look at the what do you call it? The stained glass windows and the altar.
The altar.
They're always vacuuming, always vacuuming, and it's just like, can we kill the vacuuming?
How can you talk to God when there's
hey God, just hang on a second, God. I wait till they finish. They're cleaning out the bag now. Oh God. Anyway, sorry, what were you gonna say? Something?
No.
Oh, here comes the music. Yes, because we are waffling on. Please bring the music, otherwise I'm gonna offend somebody else.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
But anyway, welcome to the podcast, and look, a special hello to everyone who's not in lockdown, because there's probably a lot of people that aren't. Just go and stop whinging, and fair enough.
Yeah. It is the lockdown express. It really is. It goes round and round, and they're on, they're off. I mean, I couldn't tell you right now. I mean, I know Victoria and New South Wales, yes, but Queensland in, out. I imagine Tasmania's doing okay. South Australia's
fine. WA's fine. Fine.
Yeah,
Northern Territory.
Yeah. Yeah,
God, I wish I was in one of those places. I see people doing gigs and stuff. You're like, oh man,
yeah.
Oh man, rub it in.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get two topics, and we've got to work out how they're related. So, should we get them? We should get them.
Yeah, we should. Otherwise, we'll get political again, and we'll start ranting, and you know, start banging the table, and we don't want that. People don't want that. They've been hearing it on the TV, and now we're talking about it. So, anyway, get the topics, please, Sam.
The Bee Gees and CPR.
Oh.
This
stay alive.
This is interesting, because I reckon...
I love the Bee Gees.
I love the Bee Gees too. But they're not Australian. Everyone knows that, don't they? They were born in the UK.
Isle of Wight, I think they were born. They were born on an island.
And they came out. They came out here in... I read somewhere where they...
Brisbane. Redcliffe.
Yeah, because one of the kids was a pyromaniac. Did you know that?
Is it why they...
One of the kids was a pyromaniac, and they said, they sent him to Australia. They didn't send him to Australia, but they said, you need to go somewhere else. And this is true. And
but Australia, England, when you light something because it's so wet, if they're on the Isle of Wight or Manchester, I think they were for a while, you're not going to. But in Australia, they moved to Queensland, which is a lot drier than. England,
it would have been great for him, wouldn't it? Who was it? It was
Morris.
I don't know who it was. It was Barry, Robin, Morris, Andy, and there was a sister. It was a girl in there as well.
There was a sister, and Andy died really young, didn't he? He wasn't in the Bee Gees.
He was.
Was Andy in the Bee Gees?
No, he was going to be, and then it was a sad ending because he was in love with a famous actress, I think, or a singer, and the relationship fell apart, and it was terrible.
Bee Gees are interesting because I just remember them. I remember them as a disco band with, you know, Saturday Night Live, Staying Alive, Grease.
Yeah.
You got that jive talking.
Yeah.
I can't say the titles of the songs without singing them like that.
Was Spitz's
Tragedy?
Spicks and Specks, that was their one of their first albums, and of course the television
show. That's from the 60s. That's a great song.
And of course you and Hamish Blake absolutely made that show. We watch it every night. Well, we're not watching it at the moment because we are watching The Voice. Okay,
they've got the turning the seat around thing, haven't they? At the moment,
And they do that annoying thing where they wave the hand over the thing just to tease you. Like, don't do that waving of the hand over the top. Don't do that. Don't be doing that.
Last time I watched The Voice, there seemed to be a lot of singers that they knew. I was watching one night, and the woman's like, "Wah!" Kylie's like, Kylie Minogue, and going, I think it was Kylie going, "Oh my God, it's an amazing voice." And the woman's like, Yeah, you should know me. I was one of your backup singers. So she's a professional singer. They've just gone to the singing schools and gone, "Who have you got?" You know, so.
Well, I must admit, it's a very high standard this year, and I'm enjoying it. I must admit, I'm enjoying it. And I've got to be honest, I watch the Olympics. I'm an expert on every sport that I watch. And now I'm watching The Voice, and I'm a singing expert. And I'm not liking your tone. Her pitch is a bit out. Yeah, the rhythm. She's got to work on her rhythm. Yeah. And I'm just an absolute expert, you know.
Do they all have to have the sad backstory? Like, I'm here because my mum died of cancer. They all have to have
I know. And sometimes they make the mistake of playing it before they've been asked about it. Because there's no doubt that the judges are primed. They know a few things. You know, like what was his name? The tennis player's sister is on at this time. And what's his name? Oh, the famous Australian tennis player. Oh, here we go. Ross Noble.
The tennis player's sister.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Hang on. So the famous tennis player's sister. Pat Cash.
Kyrgios's sister was on. And they said, what's your name? Yes, singing. Yeah. Singing on the show. And I think Nick Kyrgios was up in the stands. Oh, no, he was on TV in the background. Anyway, she goes, "Hi, my name is, you know, whatever, Sally Kyrgios." And they go, "Wait a minute. I recognize that name." No, you don't. You were told by the producer that you recognized. Kyrgios. Have you got a famous tennis brother? As a matter of fact, I have. Yeah.
Is that why you're wearing the tennis outfit? Is that why?
she just came out with, made it obvious, come out with a tennis racket and go and smash something.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I like to sing Love One. Here we go. Yeah.
Name some of the Bee Gees' biggest hits.
Oh, okay. So there were the ballads. I kind of remember, because we weren't into the Bee Gees at my house because we were all boys in the 70s. So we were rock and then punk and then new wave. So we didn't really have disco records. But then I discovered them later in life. So they had this 60s period, which was, you know, the mining disaster, the To Love Somebody. To Love Somebody.
We're actually trying to know what it's like. Anyway, go on, keep going.
Oh, amazing, amazing. I wish I saw them. And then they had all their disco hits. They went into a bit of a slump in the early 70s or mid-70s.
But didn't they come back again, though?
Oh, man, they came back massive with Saturday Night Live. So in the late 70s.
Saturday Night Fever.
And Staying Alive, the Grease song. And then they had they also wrote songs like Heartbreaker. That's a great song. I'll sing it for you.
You go, please.
Why do you have to be a heartbreaker?
I'll harmonize. Oh, this is killing.
I used to sing it around the house, and I thought of doing this once, but I thought it was a little bit. I used to sing, "Why do you have to be a ball breaker?" See, you like that parody?
You're clever. You're very clever.
They wrote Islands in the Stream,
which was for Kenny and Dolly, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you want to sing that one?
Islands in the Stream.
The Stream. That is what we are. Nothing in between. We'll get it wrong.
Everyone's take a note when they're doing podcast about anyone that sings.
It is funny, isn't it, with songs like the Bee Gees or the classic sing-along songs, but we don't know all the words when they know the main words.
I know.
There was that great movie. It's not that great, but it's by one of those. Speaking of Saturday Night Live, Saturday Night Live guy about, and he's like his dad's a fireman, and he dies in an accident, and Bill Burr plays his the stepfather in it. Have you seen that movie? The King of Staten Island. The King of Staten Island.
No.
It's a recent movie, but there's a great scene where Bill Burr and all the other firefighters are in a pub and the Warflowers song One Head Light comes on. Do you know that song?
No.
It was a big hit in the 90s, and it goes, One Head Light. But that's the only words they know, and all the firemen just go all together. One Head Light. It's a great observation. Anyway, made me laugh.
Anyway.
Okay, what BG songs can you name? I've named a lot. Let's be honest. I've named a lot.
Deep Is Your Love, Staying Alive. Oh. Shadow Dancing? Shadow Dancing, was that big?
Yeah, I don't know that.
I don't know that, yeah.
What about You Win Again? You Win Again. I may have it wrong. I've got the best of the Bee Gees on my phone. Oh, I love the Bee Gees.
So you will put it on in the car or something?
Oh, yeah. I think Kieran's a big fan, but I love Heartbreaker. They make you feel good, the Bee Gees.
They do. That, I mean, their harmonies were just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I started a joke. That's it.
We started the whole world crying.
But the joke was on me.
The joke was on me.
See, we used to make fun of them when I was a teenager in my 20s. And then this comedy
group.
Then I realized later in life that they were a great band. But this comedy group called the Heebie-Jeebies came out and they toured Australia. And they were from a uni or radio show in England. They were all these comedy. They would have been like us in our 20s and they did song parodies and they did. They did a song called Singing Stupid Songs in Really High Voices or something like that. Do you remember them?
I remember that. Yes.
They're on Countdown. And then they also did a Status Quo song called A Boring Song, I think it was called. Yeah, they put out an album of song parodies, but the Bee Gees was their big hit.
They were wearing a scarf or something and it was made to look like they were in front of a fan, so it was sort of permanently sticking out, which is fantastic.
And Angus Dayton was in them, who went on to host Have I Got News For You in England. Yeah, I remember. I remember having the album, and we loved it. We loved loved it so much. Anyway. But now I realise the Bee Gees, great band. Yeah. Love them.
Well, I'm not sure what else we can say about them. There's only one left. Barry, I think, is the only one left. Yeah, the others have all tragically probably have died way too young. And I guess we can't say much more than
so there's been when he movies. Plays live, does so, he have the other people?
Wow.
So, I mean, they were famous for their harmonies. Does he get other blokes to do the harmonies or women, or does he just go on and go, there's a light only, and then he looks and there's no one there?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bit like The Simpsons, isn't it? Like when the Simpsons, they get people can do the voices really well, so I dare say there's someone out there who can do pretty good. But nothing's like the original. Nothing is like, Barry, if you are listening, nothing is like the original, and good on you for keeping on going. But it is a bit sad when there's only one left, you know. It's hard, and you got to go, well, you know.
Who's next?
And then it's a tribute. Anyway. Then the tribute bands can come out, you know.
Oh, I think they're already out.
Yeah, of course they are.
Okay. We've got to stop talking about the Bee Gees and stop singing their songs badly. CPR. So do you know CPR?
I reckon I've learned it 3 or 4 times and I forget it every time. I don't forget it, but cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Very good.
You would have done it in Scouts, wouldn't you? Would you have your first aid badge in Scouts?
Absolutely. And then we did it in older Scouts. And the dummy, remember the dummy? The dummy had a name. The dummy.
Yeah, it was just a torso, wasn't it?
No, but the dummy, Annie. That's the name of the dummy, Annie. The dummy was called Annie. Yeah.
It was a girl, was it?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, encourage the boys to get more involved.
Yeah, of course it did. What I remember is getting the head in the right position for the mouth to mouth, and I remember the hand. You've got to put your hands together and push from the palm of your hands in the solar plexus, right where.
Yes.
And you've got to push down and through as hard as you can. I think it's like 30 beats, 30 compressions to 2 breaths. Is that what you remember it to be?
Oh, look, what happened? I did it in Scouts, then I did it in older Scouts, like in Rovers.
Yeah.
And then only maybe 5 years ago, they had it a first aid course at the primary school, and I went along two Saturdays in a row. You didn't get a certificate, but there was like, and this guy who was a PE teacher at a big Catholic school was the instructor. And what amazed me was that CPR had actually changed since the 80s. They'd updated some of the methods and stuff. So it wasn't as like we learn in Scouts. It was a bit different, actually. And also the success rate of CPR. What do you reckon the success rate is with CPR? Have a guess.
I think it would be pretty good.
No, it's really low.
Oh, is it?
It's really low. Yeah, it's really low. I mean, it's really low.
But that in terms of an ambulance driver doing it or the public doing it?
The public doing it. I think the public doing it. It's about 10% success or something, the guy saying. This is just, I don't know where he got his figures from. But also, he talked up defib machines a lot. So have you seen those at airports and shopping centres or sporting grounds?
The paddles?
Machine? Yes. Yes. And you'll see them at an airport in a glass cabinet. And they talk. There's a voice that talks you through what to do when you pull it off the wall. So have like a 90% success rate or something like that.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, they have a high success rate because the voice tells you what to do. And so he just kept talking up defib.
But you've got to go down. You've got to drop near one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why they say the best place to have a heart attack is at the MCG or a football stadium. Or like Amy Park or wherever, because they've all got defibs and they've all got mini hospitals in those places too.
Oh,
like
of course.
Mini surgery,
course.
If you're out remotely, that's a hard place to have a heart attack, they reckon. But if you're in like a sporting ground, who can pick where you're going to have a heart attack? That's a problem. Most people have it at home. So
see Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul had one recently, and he dropped on set. And then obviously they would have had people, and they're pretty quickly, and he's doing okay. And ironically, bringing it back to me, we're watching Better Call Saul at the moment. So we're up to series 5. And I think they were shooting series 6. So let's just hope he gets through and we get another series of Better Call Saul. But I love Bob Odenkirk. He did a really good interview on that show Smartless, if you want a good listen. He did a great interview recently. But most people don't do anything because they're too scared with mouth to mouth. I don't know whether it's because of litigious reasons or it's just because they don't know what to do. I know that I was driving down the road one day past the shops and someone was having a fit in the they dropped and they were having a fit on the street outside the milk bar, and everyone just stood around and I drove past and I'm going, I could keep on going and pretend I didn't see it, but hopefully they took. But I swung around and I did something. But I rang my partner Selena. I said, she said, I think he's had a fit, so just put him in the recovery position and call an ambulance. And he was fine. But I've got to say, it was really, really scary because you go,
you're a hero, is what I'm hearing. Is that you're a hero?
Well, Order of Australia. I don't know. It's up to you if you want to nominate me for that.
Imagine the guy coming to and seeing Cal Knight resuscitating him. What the hell's going on? Well, he was probably having an epileptic fit or an anaphylactic seizure or something, was he?
Something bad was happening. But it comes and then it passes and then they're okay. You just don't want them to swallow their tongue or to. Yeah, that's the hard part. But again.
But there is a. Yeah, go on.
I didn't know. Selena was great, my partner, because she's a nurse and she knows stuff like that. But she was very calm and she just said, just do that and just stay with him and talk him through it and he'll be okay. So I stayed with him. And we're friends to this day, and we're catching up later on. No, we didn't. I walked away.
He calls you the angel, the savior.
I walked away and said, who was that man? I don't know. Just thank God he's out there. But it's really scary. It's really scary.
To this day, he sits around going, have I told you the time that I think it was Cal Knight resuscitating me? Like, oh, stop making shit up. No, he was there. He was like an angel. I saw him above my head. Well, it is pretty frightening when you see that happen. I've seen that happen too. When someone goes down, I remember in Scouts a guy had an epileptic fit in a boat. We were in sailing boats and he had one on the water in the boat.
Really?
Only little boats. They're little boats. So the leader just dragged him into shore, but it was really scary.
Scary. In your course, tell me, did they teach you how to do it to babies?
Yes. Yes, they did, but that's like with two fingers.
Yes, yes.
Oh, but see, who would have the confidence to do that?
I know. And
you know, if you've got a parent there distressed, and you're like, oh man, I'd be calling for a doctor or an ambulance. Yeah. I don't know if I'd have.
I mean, the first thing is always to ring 000, and often they will talk to you because I've watched the TV show. I've seen them when they ring into the call center, and they talk. Yeah. Those people, they remain incredibly calm, don't they? And they just talk amazing. Just these are the people that are doing you and me just making up jokes. I mean, are we doing enough for the community? Hey, you know what? I think what we're doing right now is what Australia needs is we need to have a good laugh and we need a good joke.
Yes. Hey, you just told us you saved someone's life in the street outside the milk bar. You're doing plenty.
I didn't save his life, okay? But you know, how Order of Australia? How do you get the forms? Are they at the post office? Should I? How do you do that?
I'll fill it out for you. Well, what else? I think we've said enough. CPR, we should all learn how to do it, but unfortunately, you do it and then you forget and you just remember little bits.
You do. You can't quite remember I was only looking at the, because sometimes when you're at the pool, they'll have the picture up on the wall.
Yes.
And you'll see that you pull the head back so the airway is clear and you've got to, you know, because if they've vomited or anything, you're just going, really? I don't know. It's just, oof.
Well, surely at your over 50s gym, they've got a defib. Surely you need to be the first aid officer there. That is a prime heart attack.
Well, absolutely. Imagine if the owner of the gym, he must know exactly. He'd have to be big on that.
Tony?
Tony's a member. What's his name? Jonathan is the. I mean, he could have two go at the same time. Imagine that.
Yes.
One goes down, and then bang! Oh, we got another one over here.
It's like yawning. It's a reaction. Oh my god.
It's going down. Okay, time for some.
Let's have some thinking music.
Why don't we have the trailer from?
Staying Alive.
Because they did Saturday Night Fever, which is not a song, but they did Staying Alive. And I dare say it was in the 70s. We could do that.
We've played some of that before when we did Disco.
Oh,
yeah,
did you?
We played a bit, and it had Fran Drescher in it, remember?
How about
it had the nanny in it.
I wonder if Sam could get the CPR voice. Place the patient in the position.
Oh, the defib. Yeah. The defib machine.
The defib machine. Yeah. Or.
Why don't we just have the heebie-jeebies?
Because
they sing it. They can actually sing, these guys.
Yeah.
So they're not like us singing. They can actually. They're taking the piss, but they can actually sing. So. Let's hear a bit of heebie-jeebies.
Please.
Very cool. Oh, very I'm laughing good. Already.
You were singing.
Do you remember the
again.
Status quo? Remember the status quo one? Another song, a boring song, another song, and it kept restarting. They kept coming out on stage. Remember status quo? They all their songs did sound the same.
Hey guys, do you want to write some songs today? Oh, we just had an offer from Coles come in. Would you rather do that? What's it worth?
I know the guy came up with that idea. Simon. Because you know I was the voice of Coles Express, and he told me that was his idea to get status quo and do prices are down, 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 deeper and down. Well, look, as annoying as it is, it was a successful campaign.
Oh, look, it did work. Can you do the Coles Express voice?
Coming to Coles Express this week, we've got $2 milk and $3 chips. And some there always used to be these coffee beans, which are hard to pronounce. Arabica coffee beans. Now I hear a guy doing it. I'm just like, he's not as good as me, that guy. I tell you what.
Did you ever falling yet? Why aren't you doing it anymore?
I think originally they got me. I did it for like 4 or 5 years, and it was, you know, it was a good job. But I think they originally realized they just pay someone. You know what it was like? You know Thomas the Tank Engine?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was done by Ringo Starr.
And they realized they could get somebody else.
They got a plumber who could do the voice just as well. And that's what they got. They replaced me with a plumber.
Fall on their feet there? Well, not fall on their feet.
No, it's just a normal voiceover guy doing it, but they get paid less because, you know, it costs more if you're getting Dave O'Neill or Glenn Robbins, but if you're just getting the voiceover guy who does voiceovers all day, that's his job.
Yeah.
It's cheaper, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there's a great status quo story from Chris Franklin, the bloke. You know,
oh,
the bloke,
very funny,
you know,
man. Yes.
I'm a bloke. Yeah. I'm a yobbo. Had number one hit in 2001, maybe.
Yep.
When he did Meredith Brooks' I'm a Bitch, he turned it to I'm a Bloke. Anyway, he was hosting a show at Broadford Motorcycle Rally or whatever it is. They have these big concert at Broadford. They're all Hell's Angels and stuff.
Yes, you do. Hello to all the Hell's Angels if you're listening. Love your work.
And anyway, Status Quo was on, right over the headline band. So his job was to introduce Status Quo. And before that, other bands like probably Chain played or whoever, you know, some of those blues bands, you know. And so anyway, so he said the Status Quo manager was a pain in the ass. And before he had to introduce Status Quo, he goes, "No, Chris," he's British, "Chris, mate, you can't say the word Status Quo because we're in court with other members of Status Quo. Oh. So you cannot say Status Quo." And he goes, "Well, what am I going to say?" He goes, "Well, I don't know. Just don't say Status Quo. You can't. All right." And so he goes on. He goes, "All right. We're all ready for the headline band. You know, they had hits like Rocking Around the World and Down, Down, Deeper and Down. Ladies and gentlemen, the pricks from those Coles ads."
Oh, that's fantastic.
He actually used another word, which I didn't want to say, that starts with C. So. And he said, afterwards, the manager was furious, but Chuggy or whoever was organized, the big promoter or Ball Bearing, whoever, goes, "Chris, I need to talk to you." Oh. And he gets him in the back office and he goes, "Mate, that was fantastic. That manager's been a pain in the ass all day."
Oh, so, that's good.
It's a great story.
It's like I did a concert at the Sydney My Music Bowl, and they wanted to have some comedy relief in between the acts. Oh. And the asshole,
the Maya Music Bowl,
the asshole bloody host or whatever, the DJ that was doing bringing the acts on, goes, "Okay, having a good time, yeah. Do you want to see Farnham? Yeah. Do you want to see Australian Crawl? Yeah. Well, bad luck, because here's Glenn Robbins." And and I had to go out and do my little aeroplane jokes and my little, you know, stupid bloody bits of stuff. And all the while in the background, they're setting up, so I could just hear 1 1 1 2 1 1 1 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 2 know. Anyway.
Good times.
Okay. So, oh, geez.
Oh, we haven't even had a guess. I thought we'd had a guess.
Have we? No, we haven't had a guess yet.
No. Oh, Jesus. All right, quickly. I'll say Staying Alive was used in a CPR campaign, first CPR campaign.
That's a good idea. Yeah, right. Mine's a bit tragic that CPR was used on three of the members of the Bee Gees.
Jesus.
Is that a bit too bleak?
Very, very dark.
Oh, well, should I change it? Maybe. Oh, I know. I know. No, I'll change it. I reckon the rhythm of one of the Bee Gees songs is the rhythm that they play, like the D fib. Maybe they play it on the D fib or something. So maybe they use "Staying Alive" because the rhythm is right, and anyway, that's what I'll go with. Yep.
Oh, okay. Mm. What's the answer, Sam?
Anyone who's taken a CPR class has heard that the Bee Gees' "Stayin' Alive" is the perfect song for hitting the 100 to 120 beats per minute required for ideal chest compressions. A study was completed that confirms that med students and physicians who were trained to do compressions while listening to the song would maintain the ideal rhythm of 100 to 120 compressions per minute.
Oh, I think I remember that. Because you couldn't go, he needs CPR. What's the song? Try "Happy Birthday."
Happy birthday to you.
Stop.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Now you need a... When everybody's talking about it, everybody's making it staying alive. I'm pushing my hand as I say it.
Staying alive. I'm sure there are other songs.
Hey, Sam, are there other songs that you can use to do CPR to?
"I Will Survive" by Gloria Gaynor.
Oh, hang on a sec. "First I was alone, I was petrified." That's a slow start, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
"MMM Bop" by Hanson.
Oh, Bop. "Can't wait till my balls drop." Is it okay? Someone sang that once. What else we got?
Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, which is apparently a song about lesbians. I heard someone on the radio say the other day, and I don't know if it's true or not, but that's a great song.
I'm just doing the compression now.
They want to have fun. They want to.
And if you were singing that while you were doing CPR, it just would feel inappropriate, wouldn't it? Okay, Sam, give us another one.
Dancing Queen, ABBA, 100 BPM.
Oh, great song.
How's that go?
Dancing Queen, young and sweet, only 17. Dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. Oh, no, I don't know about that. It's a bit slow.
Yeah.
The tambourine. Oh, yeah, go on.
Sam.
Cecilia, Simon and Garfunkel, 102 BPM.
Cecilia, you're breaking my heart. You let me find a baby. Oh, yeah, it's got a great bit. Oh, Cecilia. That's
I'm
a great
down
song.
On my knees.
My knees.
I'm giving you CPR now.
Oh, come alive.
Sam?
Sweet Home Alabama, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, great song.
I don't know that one.
Sweet Home Alabama, which was written as a go at Neil Young, who wrote a song about rednecks, and so they wrote that song back at him about how they love Sweet Home Alabama. Oh, you'd know it if you heard it.
Yeah, I know. It has a great guitar lick. Yeah, but people listening go, don't sing it. Sam?
Rock This Town, Stray Cats.
Oh, great song. Yeah. We're going to rock this town, rock this inside out. Dun, dun, dun. Yes, yeah. We want to rock this town, rock this town. What else, Sam?
Spirit in the Sky, Norman Greenbaum.
Can you
see that?
We're
going on up to the spirit of the sky. We're going on up of the sky. We're going
to
have fun with Jesus. Yeah, it was a cover. Then it was from the 70s, maybe? Going on up. That's a very inappropriate song to sing as you're giving someone CPR, isn't it?
I know. Anyway, if you're listening, write those down and carry them around in your wallet or your purse. And then if you need them, just sing along like Dave did. So you did very well. Took me back to the days of Captain Coco. Captain Coco.
That was my band. That's right. That and Noiseworks was my other band. Whatever. We don't talk about it. In Excess, the later version.